Hello and welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. This is me, Robert Pratton, and you can find me online as Rob Pratton on Twitter. And you can also come and meet me in person in London on October the 17th at the Conductor Conference. So that's going to be fantastic for anybody into transmedia storytelling, pervasive entertainment and so on, and of course, alternate reality games. Which leads me on to this week's guest. It's Andrea Doyon, and he is the puppet master and I guess the sort of team leader for a project that's on Kickstarter right now called The Black Watchman. So, Andrea, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's really appreciated.
No, it's, well, when I saw this, and I picked this up in Twitter, you know, in the feed there, and I took a look and I thought, whoa, this is really interesting. It's something quite different, and it's going to be a lot of interest to people who listen to our podcast. So please, can you start, you know, and sort of set the scene, tell us what it's about, and then we'll, you know, go through the project in some detail.
Yeah, sure. Well, actually, I'm just going to make just a quick introduction about, you know, where we're coming from. And I want to apologize, you know, in advance because my English is average at best, you know, so.
It sounds good right now.
If something is not clear, do not hesitate to ask me again. So basically, it's been 7 years that we're doing ARGs, a little bit more than 7 years. We started like many people on nonfiction with our first ARG, and we went for 6 years running, you know, ARG on nonfiction. And after that, we did two ARG for Funcom in the context of the release of a game that was The Secret World. We also had the chance to work with the Behavior and the Game Workshop on the Warhammer 40K ARG, which I think was the only sanctioned ARG from Game Workshop, which by itself is a great achievement for us. And the same thing with the team at Behavior. It was an awesome work. And after we did that, we decided to, you know, see if it was possible to not just do marketing gig and having a real ARG that was not, you know, trying to push a product or a movie or a TV series, but an ARG by itself that was just pushing the content for the sake of, you know, entertainment and people having fun. So we came down and said, well, we had two good runs with the Secret World ARG, peaking at close than 400,000 players that, at some point participated in the ARG, which was pretty huge number. But then again, it was a version of ARG that was still to push the game at the end of the day, you know. So we decided to say, hey, let's see if Funcom would be interested to license us back, you know, the Secret World ARG, which was called The Black Watchman. And so we could spin it off as its own independent entity and try to fund it on Kickstarter. So this is how it started. So the ARG we're funding already has a past because there have been two mission related to the ARG. Each of those events have actually more than one mission. There were six missions per ARG. And it ran for about 2 years and a half. So we already have a community. We already have a team. We already have some experience, obviously. So it was not like we wake up one day and say, oh, let's try an ARG on Kickstarter. And people will, you know, throw money at us. It was not like that. It was a little more planned than that. It was more a call for help from a pet master who want to do ARG and not just marketing component, but really a full blown ARG. And we start to call it PARG, P-A-R-G, as permanent ARG. So, or an ARG that is not only an interesting event, but will be permanent over a period of what we hope to be 1 year, but I guess. You're going to ask us later on monetization and how we make that survive post Kickstarter.
So you said you already had, you know, as many as 400,000 players that have played this game in the past.
Yeah.
How long ago was it? Like, how dormant has this community been?
That's probably the one big mistake we made. We waited for 2 years between the last ARG and today's, and the community kind of, you know, Well, you have to remember also that this was part of a marketing campaign. So it's not everyone who convert as ARG fans. You know, they may have been entertained by the marketing component, but that doesn't mean that they opted into fanfiction or they went and did other ARG. So these people are harder to reach because they are not aware of what we're doing right now. But we know that this community exists, and we strongly believe that an ARG can live by its own. And that's what we're trying to do here. Trying to make, you know, a first, not a first because some people have done great thing in the past, but we clearly, at least for us, trying to make a first ARG live by its own. So the community we have is still strong because we managed to rise to $28,000 and we expect to reach our funding goals, pretty well before the 15 days that we have left. We are funded at 71%. So there's still a strong community. But it's not in the same, you know, numbers than what we used to have when we give away for free the ARG as part of a marketing component.
And with this ARG, will there be any kind of free component, or is it all pay to play?
It's all paid. It's really for the people who subscribe. So you can tag alone because you still can, you know, lurk in the forums and join the community and maybe help on the puzzle, but you will only be able to follow people. You will not be able to play the actual mission and see the clue because those will be in the situation room, and the situation room need you to have a subscription. So we don't completely block access to people for, you know, lurking around and joining the community. But at some point, if they really want to be part of it and be active, they're going to have to, you know, subscribe to the subscription. And the subscription is very low. That's important to say, you know. If we compare it to a typical MMO, our subscription will be more like $35 per year and not $20 per month. So, and it's well enough for us to survive if all the community, you know, have that kind of commitment, and we manage to grow the community, especially with Steam, because we're in a Steam greenlight right now, and we're looking to be hopefully greenlit. So we'll be able to distribute the ARG on Steam, which I think will be a first time for an ARG to be able to be on Steam.
So I think there's so many things that I want to, that I want to explore, but why don't we set the scene by telling us like the story behind the Black Watchman, because I think that then leads on to the types of missions and the different profiles that you can have. And then, so tell us the story behind the Black Watchman.
So the Black Watchman initially was in the universe of the Secret World, and it was created as a secret. It's a secret society, but more like a paramilitary division that did the task for the three main secret society in the Secret World, which is the Templar, the Illuminati, and the Dragon. And with that landscape, you can imagine that we have endless topic that we can explore for mission and for conspiration and for whatever you want to put in. You know? And the whole...
So this is like a secret society that does specialist missions for other... secret organizations. So you've got the Illuminati and sort of UFO hunters and so on, and the FBI perhaps, and they are going to give tasks to the Black Watchmen, who then go off and complete missions, right?
Exactly. And that was the universe, and they were really a low key in the scheme of team in terms of the Secret World, because the Secret World were focusing obviously more on the component in the game that was the Illuminati, the Templar, and the Dragon. So what we did is we spin it up as his own entity, and basically what we created as a background story is that we have all of the players who played the Secret World who recall the role of the Black Watchman. And in our universe, which is our current timeline, there's a lot of things that did happen in the Secret World that did not happen in the real universe. And so we're kind of having a community that have memory of stuff that did happen in their mind, but there are no proof anymore of that happening. And the only key element between the two universes that is still the same is the existence of the Black Watchman. So people, you know, join the Black Watchman. If it's their first time with an ARG, they will simply discover a paramilitary organization that is thriving and growing. And if it's, you know, they have played the Secret World in the past, they will rediscover the Black Watchmen, but with some variation from the timeline that they used to have and used to know them. And they will see that the Black Watchmen is a bit more bigger. And due to having so many outsourcing opportunities, they actually grown to a state in which you could consider them a major player in the scheme of every, you know, secret society and every government agency that is into investigation, spy, and so the FSB, the CIA, etc. So the Black Watchmen in our current timeline is extremely growing, is growing fast, and it's the paramilitary division that have a good success, basically.
And so the how do people get into this? Like, is there going to be a story then that unfolds over that year, or is it all lots of mini quests within the one big story world of the Black Watchmen?
No, it's a story who will reveal along the season. So basically, we have 4 seasons per year. Each season have a main story, and each season contribute to the larger background story that we have created. So you will still have closure for content and interactivity in the season, which I think is rewarding. But also the content itself span over multiple seasons for the more deep storyline that you will uncover through the process. So in a nutshell, this is basically how we build the structure. You still have solo missions that are really short events that you will be able to experience that include different various ways to immerse yourself in the Black Watchmen universe. But you have this season, basically, that you have to work with the team and with other in the community to manage to conclude, basically.
And how do you sort of bring the community together? Because you mentioned Steam, and you've used MMO. So what's the sort of structure and everything of it?
Well, first of all, we have the structure is in the mission themselves, how you're being handled with the mission. So solo mission is something that you can do alone, and also they are more more worth you to practice yourself with different various aspects of an ARG, which include real life event or cryptography decryption or the direction or whatever you will experience. But those solo missions is to teach you the basis of, an ARG. So if you're already a veteran, you will, breeze through that very easily. But if you're a new player, and that's the point here, if you're a new player, we want you to feel, that the game is not too complex and not too complicated for you, So once you have passed that, you will discover the other mission. And some mission requires friends to work. So you're going to have to tackle with 2, 3, or 4 of your friends to tackle a mission. If you do not have any friends in the community, you can send a request for help. And all the Black Watchmen agents will see your request for help from your region, and they will be able to join you and help you out doing your quest.
Great.
But you could discover a new, for example, it could be a new player. You could discover a raid mission, and those ones are requiring 100 people and more to be solved. So when you discover those missions, you don't know yet that you have in your hand something really, really unique for the rest of the community. You just discover it by starting investigation and they think, calling for help. And the more you get help, the more you uncover that you actually, just discover a major key storyline, and you are the one who uncover it, So, and you need at least, 100 people, for example, to join and to solve that puzzle. So this is how we basically try to have the community joining in through this help request system. So if you're a solo profile, that's going to help you get into the community. And if you're already extremely active in the community, you will be on the lookout for those missions because, they are the ones who will unlock the story and let you, go further down the line.
That's really good. So in let's say a mission of 100 people, Do you have to perform a particular role? Is there a leader, or how would that work?
Mission of 100 people, there's 4 main type of profiles. The first profile will be the investigator, so the person who connect the dots and is good with, all the history or all the inning that could involve, researching content or researching facts in the past. So this is the first part for, you know, a profile that is more investigator. We have a second profile who's more a hacker. So if there's computer involved or cipher involved or code breaking involved, this person can actually be, you know, of some use. So they will jump in and help the community. We have a third profile who is a little bit more, you know, less into ERG, more into action. So you may have to attack something or to control a drone, for example, and do some attacks. So this will be more gamified, if you want. There will be more gamification if you play that profile of player. And finally, we have the lurker, and we want to have a role for the lurker, because some people do enjoy just watching people do ARG, because it's extremely amazing to see all those brains together solving stuff that is just insane, and they manage to solve it in a matter of, you know, hour and minutes. In 30 minutes, they will solve stuff that's just amazing, you know. So the lurker still have a role. We need, for example, a level of lurker to power up something, for example. So they all contribute by just being there. So this is the fourth role, if you want. And everyone has a chance to interact with each other. As soon as you join in the game, you bring your region of the world in the game. So there could be mission happening, or there could be reference from stuff in your hometown. So if you're like 2,000 people hometown, you know, you don't have any other players, but you will bring your hometown in our game just by subscribing to it. So that's how we grow. We make the content more local, relevant for the players also.
That's really, yeah, I think that's really good. And so how do they all get together? They just on a regular community? How do they talk to each other?
Well, that's through the interface. I could send you some interface if you have some preview or some attachment you can make to the podcast. But there's an interface that a world map, actually, in which you can see all the active agents, and you can see all agents who request for help, or you can see the ongoing raid event with you know, some important part of the mission that you can jump in. There's also one technology that we wanted to develop, and we'll see depending on how well we managed to do the funding. It was a replay engine. So, for example, if you missed a mission that was important, you can actually replay that mission as it happened. So you see exactly the people chatting, you see the people, you know, posting in front and chatting in the ERC in real time. And you can actually say that I have just 1 hour to replay that mission, so we can speed up the process. But you will actually see from start to end how the mission actually got solved. And if you manage to solve it before it, you can play with this replay engine and, you know, being more autonomous. But that's a challenge we want to tackle, the fact that some people may miss some content and they want to have the chance to just replay it, so they have the ability to better understand what has happened when they were offline.
That's nice. That's really good. That's really good. And so, where does Steam fit into the picture?
I'm sorry. Where does what?
Steam and the Project Greenlight initiative.
The Steam Greenlight initiative, if I understand your question, is pretty simple. Greenlight is a section in which you submit your games for people to vote, and if you have enough votes, you get greenlight. And right now, we are at 50% of our objective to be greenlight. So we're pretty confident that we're going to end up in the green bit section. So because it was launched a little bit after our Kickstarter. And I think it's probably one of the first ARG that end up on Steam like that. So we're looking forward to a successful launch on Steam. But Steam will have basically the situation room the same way you could have it through the web or through your iPad. Or in tablets, basically, that you want to play the game with.
Okay, because that was what I was getting at. Yeah, I wondered what bit was going to be distributed on Steam. So it's the situation room,
exactly,
where you can look at the... Got it.
Where you can look at the map, get new quests, and share quests with people. So it's we call it a hub, and it's just a way for people to stay connected more easily. There's a forum and ERC chat embed in the hub, but the forum is also could be accessible directly to the web, and the ARC chat can be accessible with the ARC, you know, application. It's a standard ARC function server, I'm sorry. But the point is that it's all bringing together in one place that we call the hub, so we can have more chance of people meeting each other and helping each other, especially for a new player. A veteran player will go straight to the forum and straight to the ERC and may not need a hub as much as, you know, new player will need it.
I think, you know, when I look at, I've read some of the press pieces that are out there, and it's quite interesting how, you know, like ARG might only be, there's a term might only be familiar with a sort of a subset of the total player base that you're aiming at, and you often refer to it as an MMO. And has that been a successful approach in terms of attracting people to the property?
Well, I think that we asked the question, you know, because some people will say you're not an MMO right off the bat, you know, and we find that question challenging. So we turn ourselves to Joel Bylus, who is the game producer, the executive game producer for game producer for The Secret World, and also worked on Age of Conan, two major MMO in the market. And we asked him, do you think an ARG is an MMO? And his answer was quite, you know, quick and straight. Yes, absolutely. You know, we're talking about a game that if you're not online, the game continues evolving. If you have to be more than one player, you cannot play just single player if you want to participate in the end of games, you know. You have single player missions, but they are just training or tutorial missions. They are not the core of the game itself. You have core game mechanics that rely only on multiplayer and the notion of having a strong enough community to solve them. So that definition by itself is a massive multiplayer online game. Now, in our case, we had the term at the beginning, MMORG, which we find was a little bit too long, and we decided to settle for PRG, permanent ARG, the concept that but because intrinsically we believe that ARG is a community, you know, thing. So it's not a single player, and you cannot play it if you're not on the internet, period. So, yeah. That for us set the bar. Right there. And we want to create this permanent universe in which you can come in and come out. And if you come out, you know that it's still happening. And based on our agent level color system, you will get more involved. Actually, the game is going to reach out for you rather than you reach out for the game. So we're going to invade your real life, depending on how much, you know, authorization you gave us. So this for us was the permanent part of the ERG. It's clearly.
I really like the color system when I saw that. It's like if you go for the maximum, you have to sort of sign, you know, some like personal liability waiver.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only that, you also have a major psych evaluation that is done and a physical evaluation if you go into the green level. Green level being the more intense, you know, invasion of your life, if you want. We like to say invasion because it's kind of provocative, you know. But the truth is, it's still to make, you know, it's still to entertain you. But if we take the example of the Montreal mission, the person who signed a green waiver and did the Montreal mission, it was a real life mission, and it was pretty intense. I mean, the guys was really, you know, excited, but at the same time had fear and a lot of mixed emotion when he did this mission with us. But if I don't know if people know about the color system, but it's a simple safety system that we implement in the ARG, so we know who is ready for more, you know, experience than other players. So if your color red, that means that you don't want to be contacted. It's all initiation or all event is initiated by you only. The game cannot, you know, contact you. Or if it contacts you because you accepted the channel, you have a disclaimer at the beginning that this is part of the ARG. Because you could share an email or a phone with different people and for example, it could be your dorm room or whatever. And if you get a spooky call, it could be not you answering the phone. So some people decide red is the safest for them. Orange means that you're giving us, you know, some channel that we don't have to disclaim that we are an ERG. You give us permission to contact you on those channel, on these channel, and they're not, you know, we don't have to be, to disclaim it. So if they are more immersive, because when you get a call, it's a bit more exciting because you don't know if it's real or not, you know. And finally, yellow. So red, orange, yellow. Yellow is the highest that the player can decide. And yellow basically is we can do whatever we want to contact you or, you know, mess with you and also work with your, the stuff that ticks you basically. So because we're still an horror, a horror game, you know, we're still really dark in terms of the team that we touch. So there's serial killers and all that stuff, you know. So you could get spooky call at 4 o'clock in the morning if you select yellow. And if you select green, it means that you are ready to have physical interaction with our actors. So it means that we may kidnap you from your home and say you have to follow us right now. And that's exactly what happened to this guy with the green light mission in Montreal.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's good. I think, can you say already how many people have signed up for green? Is that, what's the majority of the
we didn't set up the color system yet for people to opt in, but just with the current base of player we have, we know that almost 20% are ready for the green level, which is a little bit freaky for us because we didn't expect, you know, we expected more in the 5% range of the audience, and but no, there's a lot. But all at the same time, the player we have at track so far are the core player, so we're
So
that can skew a little bit our statistics. But the green, you know, when you think of the Montreal mission, the guys, the community help him pay a ticket, and his family and everyone help him pay a airplane ticket from Dallas to Montreal. So it's all his initiative, and you could have end up in Montreal and not finding anyone to do his mission, but he was waiting at the train station, and we got it from there, and we escort him with military personnel and the whole team in the Montreal subway, and everyone was looking at him and taking picture, and people was like, oh my god, what's going on? So it was pretty intense. I think, and everyone who followed on Twitter, and after that, when he ended up at the safe house, there were video stream. Everyone was really, really into it, you know. So it gave a good perspective of what could be a green level, and a lot of people got excited by it. But the green level would choose who is going to be, you know, selected, because it costs much more resources, you know, with just for that person, we have 15 people on the scene to react if something happened, you know, both from legal perspective and from, you know, health perspective. So we have a lot of people covering his back basically to be sure that everything went well.
Yeah. That's an interesting point to sort of like look at the economics of this. So for example, how many people, the total budget that you've asked for up to now is like $40,000, that's correct, isn't it, on Kickstarter?
Exactly. It's $40,000, but you have to understand that Alison Smith was funded, so the company behind the project, Alison Smith was funded by Natalie Acosta, and Natalie was the owner of Human Equation, and she actually sell her share in Human Equation. So the funding of Alison Smith, basically, she managed to secure 2 years of staff and, you know, rent and all you can think of. So what is gives the game is basically it's pure money that will go only on the content of the game. We don't have to worry about staff. We don't have to worry about, you know, rent. We don't have to worry about that kind of stuff, which is kind of a unique, you know, chance for us to do an ARG. So the money, normally a company who wants to do something like that, they will have to double this amount because there were too much, you know, fees to cover just to as being a startup and trying to develop all the technology that we developed over the years doing ARGs that she also incorporated in the project. So with that, it gives really an amount of money that goes straight into the storytelling and the ARG for the startup at the release.
Yeah, okay, so that's quite good. How many people do you think will be sort of doing you know, the because you've got people to do community management, people to write the missions and so on. How big a team is it to keep this running?
We never grew out of 5 to 6 core member to operate an ERG, because they need to be so tight to be sure that we don't have any mistake in the ERG itself, that doing an ERG with a team of 10 or 20 is just impossible in my mind. And we managed with a team of 5 or 6 to handle 400,000 players. So we're pretty confident that this is the right number. Of course, we deal with freelancers, but the point is that, you know, this core team, we have to not be higher than 5, because that's where you have miscommunication. And our ERG, I don't know with how other Puppet Master operate their ERG, but our ERG is a real ERG in the sense of you can't really impact the storyline. The negative aspect of that is mean that we have up to 50% of our content that is produced while you're playing. And that's the only way for us to be sure that you can really impact the storyline. So that's where you cannot have miscommunication, and you need to be really a close team to achieve something like that.
So people will be able to impact the story.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they can kill the cheerleaders instead of saving it, you know.
And so how's that going to impact your season? So you might have like season 4 in your mind and then completely scrap that after season 1, perhaps.
Absolutely. That's the fun of the game. And at the same time, that's the stress of the game, because they can really fail a mission. And they know that there's consequences. Whatever they do, they win or they will lose, but there are going to be consequences. So it's what make it fun, because this is the only, for example, if they're on a specific mission to save main characters, that's the only chance to save it. And if they don't save it, this character is gone. It's over. So we have to retain the storyline, obviously, if this happened. But it's also logical that the storyline follows what the players do or don't manage to do, depending on success or failure. But it makes a stress to the game. So when they come up with a more important character and you really want to save him, the stress is, you know, real. And that's, I think, how we can make it much more interesting than just, you know, you unlock the storyline that was already written and already shot and everything.
No, I think it's really interesting. And so we spoke just briefly before we went on air, and we were saying that there have been other ARGs on Kickstarter that haven't managed to reach their total, but you guys are definitely on course to do that. So what do you think has happened in the past with other ARGs? They've asked for a lot less money and so on. Has that been something to do with their success and so on, do you think?
Well, I think that it's been 7 years that, you know, we participate on fiction, we went to ARG Fest and some convention, and the thing that is really a challenge and everyone's struggling for is trying to bring the game, you know, to a larger audience, like, you know, 42 Entertainment has done, or like Stitch Media and Toronto is doing. We're trying to do the same. We want to bring this genre, this game genre, to a wider audience, because we strongly believe it could deserve it. The challenge we have is that the audience don't understand what we mean. When we try to explain an ERG, honestly, it's something really hard to explain. You have to live it to understand how fun it is. So, and I think that anyone who's involved in ERG will agree and saying, oh yeah, any description of an ERG is loosely related to the real emotion you have when you play one and you invest yourself in one. So, I think that this is the biggest challenge. But what will happen is that the more project like us succeed, the more the audience will grow and say, we're looking for other ARG to play. The same way that the first time you played an MMORPG, you were playing a complete new game and you were just lost in the game. It was so big. The same thing with ARG, you know, this feeling of new era and new genre for me is really real. And I think we have a shot for all the Puppet Master out there and all the ARG fan out there, and Transmedia actually, because I think we're kind of starting to blend, you know, both in the same universe. But this concept for me is powerful, much more powerful than the future of, you know, MMO or the future of PC game and stuff, the future of ARGs and transmedia project is much brighter and have probably a much more bigger growth rate than any other game type right now, mostly because it's just underevaluated. It's extremely underevaluated in my mind.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. I was just thinking about all that you were saying. Yeah, it's really interesting. I think as well that, you know, I think with the resources that you've got, I wonder if some of the other projects that have tried to get funded, they weren't ambitious enough, and their vision wasn't big enough.
Yeah, maybe ambition, but the thing we're trying to set up with this project is we also have a mailing list that we're currently creating that you can opt in as part of the Black Watchmen, and you will get updates from other ARGs. So we want to make our community accessible for other puppet masters who want to fund or, you know, launch a project. So kind of a kick it forward principle that if we succeed, we're gonna work to, you know, bring that back to other puppet masters so we can help them fund their project by giving them an exposure in the Black Watchmen. So this is the kind of thing we want to be able to achieve, because if we manage to grow, I don't know, a 20,000, you know, people community or 30,000 community with 10% of it being active player, it's good numbers, you know, it's the numbers that start to be really interesting.
No, I think it is. I agree. I think that there's lots of potential for it, and I wonder if that sometimes the you know, like we have this conversation you know, in our company sometimes, and we wonder if sometimes there are puppet masters who just love staying up all night, and they love, you know, and they kind of turn their back on automation or the technology to a certain extent, because they think, well, part of the fun is sort of is all these late nights. And I guess what you guys are having to do, because you want this to be, you know, you've got like a 2-year window to try to make a success of this, but over that period, you want something that is a going concern, that's generating enough revenue to pay the office rent and the staff and everything. And to do that, it means you have a completely different mindset, actually, that you look, even though you want that dynamic nature, that the storyline can change, in the interim, you're still having to look at, you know, how can we make it accessible? How can we use technology to make our load lighter?
Yeah, absolutely. And technology ensures that it's scalable. So if, for example, it works on Steam and it start, we can localize the game and we start, you know, having a success, more wider success, we need to have the technology scalable. And that's where we knew that at least we can support 400,000 people with the technology we have and with the process and approach that we have. So, you know, if 30,000 is already a number that could be well enough for us to fund and be, you know, functional, even if we have only 10% of them, you know, converting into paying customer, there's once the technology is developed, it's the key to being able to support and scale. And you want there to be able to scale. We see currently a lot of MMORPG going sandbox. And the point is, sandbox is much more, you know, going the direction of NARG has been since the beginning than being an MMO as they were, as a technology. So sandbox, for the people who don't know what this means, is basically it's content created by the players, and the player have the player's action have more consequences in the game than typical scripted MMO. So we see them trying to go in our direction, actually. So in my opinion, ARG and transmedia should be really the hot topic and not sandbox MMO, you know. And I think that this is just the fact that it's hard to explain our game, but the players get more and more educated, and the more we have players, you know, involved in ARG, it's really rare that we have players involved in ARG and they come back and say, oh, that was not for me, I hate it, you know. Most of the people are just like, wow, I never believe a game like that could exist, you know, because people want emotion. They go to movie, they go to, you know, TV series, they go, and basically at the end of the day, they want emotion. And that's what we deliver in transmedia production. And we deliver emotion well better than many other platforms in my humble opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You're preaching to the choir. So I think that's a good point to wrap it up, because I think it's really inspiring what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I think everyone's going to be wishing you a lot of success with this. So where can I'll put a link on the show notes and everything, so people can find the Kickstarter project.
Yep.
Where would you like people to go and sign up? And is there a URL you can give out?
Well, if they back the Kickstarter project, which is on Kickstarter, The Black Watchman, they will see game and comic book. We didn't tackle the comic book subject, but there's also a comic book part of that. So don't be surprised. It's The Black Watchman game and comic book. But if they go on Kickstarter and search The Black Watchman, they will find us pretty easy, because I think there's only another result in the search result when you Google that. Or if you search it on Kickstarter. And as soon as they pledge, they will be invited to join our forums, which already have 1,200 posts, I think. So it's already active, and there may be some reason why it's active. Maybe there's something going on somewhere. So I have to stop there. I cannot say more. But basically, that's it. And for the comic book, if I make a little quick explanation, is that
yes.
Between seasons, we wanted to have something to bridge, you know, people. And also we wanted something to, because an ARG, as you know, when you've done the ARG, except if we develop the Wayback Machine, this replay engine, you don't, it's intangible. You don't have any, you know, memento of what has happened in the ERG itself. So we decided to create a comic book that will simply document what the player has done. So the player has a chance to be featured in the comic book if they really have, you know, differentiate themselves, or if they are the one who discovered the mission first or whatnot, you know. And the comic book is Frank Miller style. If you take the time to look at it, you will see that it's extremely professional, it's well made, and it's really interesting. And that's how we're going to remember the history of the ARG by documenting the ARG event in the comic book, you know, format.
So I think that's a really nice way to do, like, the story so far for people coming in, and
that's
also
more
it's quite a big incentive, isn't it, for people to actually, you know, stride out and be one of the influential players.
Yeah. And all the characters you see currently in the comic book have been designed from people, from backers, from real backers right now. So when you're going to look at the Chosen One or Santiago or those characters, they actually are in the forums and you can talk with them. They are players. They are not, you know, actors, and they are not staff from Alison Smith or Human Equation. They really are, you know, gamers, and they have been picked and chosen based on their contribution so far.
That's really good. I mean, are there any, have you provided any, instructions about good behavior and bad behavior and how to contribute?
Well, so far we didn't have to. We have the community that elected their own moderator, and the moderator right now is doing this for us, if you want. But honestly, to have managed different communities in the past, the RG community by far are the more fun to work with, because if something is weird, instead of saying, oh, it's a bug, and being, you know, hostile, but towards the problem, ARG will always think of there's something behind it. There's something behind this problem.
Yeah.
So at some point, they always fix the story for you. If there's a mistake or something, then they find a way to fix it for you, and they play with the puppet master like that. The same way that in the old days, we played with our dungeon master, and nobody wanted, you know, for the story to fail, you know. So it's a little bit in the same sense of that. The people in the ARG community is really positive. They well behave. It's really rare that we have to, you know, ask someone to get that in line. It never happened to me as it's.
Brilliant. Okay then, Andrea, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Very good luck with the project.
Thank you, and salutation to all the audience, and also all the puppet master. And like we said, if we succeed, we have a lot of kicking forward we want to do for the other puppet master who need help and want to raise money on Kickstarter. But hopefully, it's it's, this one will make not only our ARG work, but give, you know, open the door for other ARG to try their chance on the Kickstarter.